If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter number 4. Maybe a little bit different message this morning, but we do that from time to time. But I want to share with you just some thoughts. I was reading this passage of Scripture and just thought about it. So easy to get discouraged in the work of the Lord, whether you're a pastor or whether you're even a member. We have to be careful. And so this morning I want to speak on the subject of hope for the faint of heart. I'm going to read verse 1. We'll be looking at the first 18 verses in chapter 4. Well, they're only 18, so we'll look at the whole chapter. But we'll be going through them and just sharing with you a few thoughts that I hope will be a blessing to you. The Apostle Paul was a great missionary. He was a great preacher. And again, we followed him as he went through and did everything that he did in the book of Acts and what happened to him in Romans and the various things that he did. But he was a great person. But even Paul was not without difficulty and discouragement and heartache along the way. And this morning, I felt like maybe we just needed a little bit of encouragement. That was an encouragement to me. Cal didn't know. Well, I guess he did know what I was preaching on since he did my PowerPoint. I started to say he didn't know, but maybe he did. But that song went right along with it, whether he planned it or not. It worked out great. But today, I just want to be an encouragement to you. And I want to share with you some things that the Apostle Paul went through in his ministry and how difficult it was. But yet, he stayed the course, even right up to his death. And I'm grateful today that God's given us the opportunity to serve Him. Verse number 1, chapter number 4, I'll read from my text. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. And I tell you today, I hope that we'll not faint in the work of the Lord. I think the psalmist said, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And that's exactly what Paul lays out. He gives us four things this morning in this chapter that I hope will encourage us and strengthen us and help us that we don't faint, we don't give up, or we don't quit. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the opportunity, the privilege we have to come together. And Lord, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you that it's quick, powerful, and sharper than any two-edged sword. We thank you, Lord, that the same gospel we preach here is the same gospel that missionaries preach all around the world. And the same way we get saved, same way they get saved. And Lord, I pray that you'd bless all the works around the world. Lord, I pray Brother Hull and his family. Lord, just be with them and help them as they go to Albania. Lord, give them the strength and the help they need. And Lord, I know there will be times of discouragement for them, but I pray, Lord, that you'd encourage them, strengthen them, and uphold them and help them. And Father, we'll thank you now for what you do and what you're going to do. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. I've often said the church of Corinth was in a crisis. Seemed like they did a lot of things that Paul had to get straightened out. Actually, on Wednesday night, we've been going through 1 Corinthians. And in 1 Corinthians, Paul preached on their sin. He talked about their disobedience and the way they were acting, the things they were doing. When we get to chapter 2, we find they had improved in some of those areas, probably not as much as they need to. There was some evidence of obedience in this chapter or in 2 Corinthians. But in spite of their improvement, the people of the church of Corinth, like sometimes most time in every church, and I don't think it's here. Again, I always preface that. I guess it shouldn't, but it's just I thank the Lord for this church, and I thank the Lord for the blessing, and I'm glad we're not in the place we're in. At least I hope we're not, because listen to what they said about Paul in verse number 2. He said, but I have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, not handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. Believe it or not, but there was people at the church of Corinth that was talking about Paul. Can you imagine that? Talk about a preacher. But they were talking about Paul, and they weren't saying good things. They said basically that he was weak and that he was not, you know, things were just dying off. They said he was dishonest. They said that he corrupted God's word. They said that he hindered the preaching of the gospel. And in spite of all those accusations, no matter how hurtful and how wicked and how unfounded they were, Paul continues in chapter 3 and 4 through a very sad situation, but he's forced to defend the ministry that he had in Corinth. You know, he should not have had to spend time doing that. He should have been able to continue to spend time preaching the Word of God. But he had to stop and deal with it, because some folks had begun to say things about him which were an untruth, and so he had to defend it in a special way. But Paul wants them to know, in spite of their attacks, in spite of their pressures on his ministry, in spite of the persecution that he had faced, the imprisonments he had suffered, the hatred of his enemies that he had endured, he said, through it all, we faint not. And I'm thankful today that Paul had a very strong will in what he did. And you know, today God's looking for Christians and people that'll have a strong will in being faithful to the Lord. Sometimes the ministry is hard and it's stressful. It can be lonely and painful. And I think of missionaries even more so, leaving our country and going to another country, being away from family and friends, how difficult it would be. But Paul said, through it all, it makes no difference. I'm going to continue to be what I need to be for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I don't know what was happening here, but maybe the church was going through a stage like a lot of churches do here. We go through stages. People come in. People get saved. And then sometimes they drift away, drift off, or quit altogether. Maybe not moving to another church, but just moving out of church altogether. And it seems today we live in a day and age where people just really doesn't care about church as they once did. If I had the statistics this morning, they would prove out of that. But we know that there's been difficult times. And I know it's discouraging. It's discouraging to lose people. It's discouraging to see people move away or just quit or whatever it might be that happens in their life. But you know, today, what we have to understand is no matter what other people do, God is faithful in all that He does. And we have to trust Him to meet the need. You see, church to a lot of people is no longer important. Many do not attend the church, and when they do attend church, they're troubled by the preaching of the Word of God. If the preacher gets up and preaches the Bible as it is, believe me, it will offend some. It will hurt somebody's feelings unless you're there for the right reason and the right purpose, and that's to hear the Word of God. So God can change your life and make you be what you need to be. So ministry can be discouraging for preachers, but it can also be discouraging for members in the church. To be honest, it's far too easy to get lost in them and get away from them. And I'm thankful today for the opportunity we have to preach the Word of God. And you know, today we don't need to focus on the negatives. We need to focus on the positives. What's positive, preacher? Well, we're here, aren't we? We're breathing this morning. God's been good to us, and there's a whole prayer list that we need to be praying for people, but we ought to be just thankful today to be in the house of God. I'm thankful today that we have the Word of God. It's empowering us to be able to preach it to people and the need that they have and give them exactly what they need in order that they might be saved. But Paul was saying, in the midst of my pain, in the midst of my difficulty, the most important reason is the continued hope that I have in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I think about the song that said, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. And truly, that's the way it ought to be in each and every one of our lives. And that's what I want to share with you this morning, hope for the faint of heart. I hope you're not faint of heart this morning. If you are, I hope you're encouraged when you leave. But we have a lot to be thankful for. We have a lot to rejoice in. And I want to share with you four things that Paul gives us in this chapter that I hope will encourage your heart. Why did Paul faint not? First of all, Paul did not faint because he remembered that God redeems the lost. Even if people aren't getting saved, it's like we would love to see them get saved. And I tell you today, anybody, and I surely do, have a burden to see people get saved. I pray often, and I wish that every time we had a service that somebody would come down the aisle that had got born again that week or got born again in the service. Friend, our job is to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. And today, no matter what happens in other people's lives around or round about, I want you to know today, it may not be happening as much as we'd like for it to happen here, and I'd love to see it happen more. But God is still saving souls. I run into people all around that have been saved, maybe in other churches or even some saved here. I'm not saying we haven't had any saved. But he talks about people who will repent under the preaching of the gospel. There's only one message for the preacher. It's the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the whole counsel of the Word of God. It's our obligation to preach it with fervor and preach it with power in order that Christ may be seen. Now, Paul says that the gospel is hidden from those that are lost. In fact, he tells us this in verse number 3. He said, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Paul said, I'm just going to keep on preaching the Word of God. Look at verse 5. He said, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Can I say this morning, God has never disappointed me. Can I say that again? God has never disappointed me. And furthermore, He never will disappoint me because He wants what's best for my life. And I believe today that we need to walk in a way that is pleasing to Him in everything we do and everything we say. Paul reminds us that we're in the same situation. Look at verse number 6. He said, "For God who commanded the light to shine out of darkness has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." I tell you why we're getting faint at heart. We forget what our motive and what our method and what our purpose really is. Our method and what God wants in our life is us to be lights to a dying world to whom the gospel is hid. It's hid because there's not enough light. You get enough light, it'll be revealed. And that's where you and I come in. We need to be the light of the world. We need to be witnesses for the Lord Jesus Christ. If you're here this morning and you've never been saved, the first thing you need to do is get saved by the grace of God. You need to hear the gospel and be saved. But after you're saved, we're to become the light that shines out of darkness, a light that people can see Christ in us, a testimony that beams from us, that people can see and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that we've been with God, that we spent time with Him. You know, remember Jesus said, or God said in Genesis 1:3, He said, "Let there be light." And there was light. And I'm grateful today that when the light came, it came immediately. And when the light came in your life and mine, the light came immediately, and it saved us by the grace of God. I know this song was, I think, written, and I know it was sung by Hank Williams, the country singer. But I tell you, when I go to the nursing home, this is one of the songs that they want me to sing and play my guitar. They like it. It's "I Saw the Light." Ain't nothing wrong with that. I saw the light one day. And I tell you today, if you're here and you're lost, you need to see the light, because the light is the only thing that will give you the salvation you need through the Lord Jesus Christ. But Paul's point is, I'm not going to quit, I'm not going to faint, I'm not going to give up, I'm just going to keep on keeping on preaching the gospel the best of my ability. I've been preaching it now for about 45 years, and I'm grateful for the opportunity I've had to preach it, and I pray God gives me a little bit longer to continue to preach the Word of God. But I understand that there's easy sometimes to get discouraged, to get to the point where you just don't know what to do. But when you don't know what to do, just preach the gospel. You say, "Well, I'm not a preacher." No, you're not, but you can tell somebody about the gospel. You can tell them how to be born again and how to go to heaven and what they need to do. You see, our job is, when discouragement comes, is just be faithful to God. I said a while ago, God had never failed. Well, wouldn't it be wonderful to say that we had never failed God? I don't believe anybody can say that, though, because I believe everybody in here at some point in time in our life, we failed God in our life. And I thank God that all we have to do is ask forgiveness of God, get back on track, and begin to do the things that we need to do. We need to remain faithful to Him. We need to be faithful to church, to attend church. We need to be faithful to read our Bible. We need to be faithful to do what we need to do for the kingdom of God. Friend, I don't know how much longer we've got left before Jesus comes, and I don't believe it could be too long, but I believe it could be at any time or any moment. But we need to be investing in the work of the Lord. I'm glad this morning, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, I'm thankful to see missionaries. Listen, in the last few years, missionaries have not been as in abundance as they were back in the 70s and 80s. But I'm glad today there's still young people that are surrendering to the call of God to go to the mission field and take the gospel to people that are lost, that need to hear about Christ. And you may have some discouraging times, but remember the object of what we're doing it for is to keep our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ and serve Him. Keep praying. Keep reading your Bible. Keep rejoicing in your salvation. It may not appear as you know, that there's eternal value, but I promise you there is. If you're saved and you believe your Bible, we know that there's eternity waiting us as we build the church. And I'm not talking necessarily about building this church, this physical church, but I'm talking about the building of Christ, building the body of Christ, those who are saved. The second thing we notice is found in verses 7 through 12. So the first thing we notice is, remember, God's still saving people. Amen? There's people getting saved, mission field. In fact, I got a text this morning, Brother, I'll get his name in a minute. Tim Martin has been, he and some of his people from Rock of Ages have been down at the mission house. And they were saying that they left yesterday. And he sent me a text, said, "Preacher, thank you for the mission house." He said, "We went to Gadsden Correctional Institute." He said, on Thursday night we had 40. He said, "Friday night we had 60. And he said, "Yesterday we had 60. And he said, "We had two souls saved." He said, "Please tell your church that they have two souls added to their account because y'all invested in allowing us to stay in the house down here." I'm glad today God's still redeeming the lost. But second of all, remember God is reinforcing the weak. In verses 7 through 12, we find that he says he reinforces the weak. In verse number 7, for he said, "We have this treasure in earthly vessels, that the excellency of power may be of God and not of us." As we think about it, these earthen vessels that he's talking about, the word earthen vessel speaks of jars of clay. Jars of clay are very fragile and break very easy. And so basically that's what he refers to us as being. And I'll be honest with you, whether we want to admit it or not, we can be broken very easily if our faith is not as strong as it needs to be. If we're not walking in the will of God, if we're not serving God, and if we're not being faithful to God, it can hinder our relationship with God and also the work of God, and we can go all to pieces. We can fall to pieces and allow the devil to get in and get a foothold in our life and literally hinder us from doing what God's called us to do. You know, today it's so easy sometimes. Somebody said, "Well, what's the use?" It's the same use it has been ever since I started preaching. Jesus Christ died on the cross for the sins of the world. He saved my soul. And it's our responsibility to keep on keeping on for Him. And even though we're fragile and even though we're weak, listen what He said in verse number 8. He said, "We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast out, but not destroyed. Always bearing about the body of the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also in Jesus might be made manifest in thy body." I want to just kind of go through that again. He said, "I was troubled, but not perplexed." He said, "Brother, there was pressure coming from all sides." And I say today, we're going through things. I mean, there's been so many. I mentioned the other day, we've talked about it, people's deaths and dying and sickness and hindrances and things that have gone on. And it's so discouraging. It's so disheartening. I told another preacher yesterday I was talking to, and I told him, I said, "You know, the thing is," and I don't think that sometimes maybe the congregation, I know you understand, but you don't maybe understand quite as big. But when you're burying people, especially people in your church that you've loved and known, it takes an emotional toll upon you. It literally is more stressful than you think. But yet, despite it all, Paul didn't get perplexed. He didn't let it rattle him in any way. He goes on to say, "I was afflicted, but not confined." I was afflicted. In fact, we know about his thorn in the flesh. We know about his persecution. We know of this. This is so remarkable here that the church at Corinth was accusing him of all those things. How in the world could they do that? One of the greatest men that we have in the Bible that's given us much of the Word of God through the Spirit of God. But they did it. But yet Paul said, "I've been afflicted, but not confined." I said perplexed a while ago, been troubled, but not distressed. But then he said he was perplexed, but not in despair. I tell you, sometimes I get perplexed. I don't know which way to go. I'm at a loss for what to do. I really am not sure. I'm filled with anxiety and fear, but I don't have to be, because Paul wasn't. He wasn't perplexed. He was not filled with anxiety and fear. He was just going to keep on keeping on for the Lord Jesus Christ. He was persecuted, but not forsaken. Aren't you glad today that even though he was pursued and hated, he was never abandoned by God? I want you to know this morning, God will never leave you. God will never forsake you. He's there with you this morning, and He'll bless you and help you along the way. He was cast down, but not destroyed. He was knocked down, but He wasn't knocked out. All this came on Paul for a reason and a purpose. Look at verse number 11. He said, "Here's the cause for which we live are always delivered unto the death for Jesus' sake. that the life also of Jesus might be manifest in our mortal flesh. What he was saying, in the end, everything I endured in my life, everything we endure in our lives, is to allow Jesus to be seen in us. Friend, today, no matter where I go or what I do, I want people to see Christ in me. Do they always? No, unfortunately not. I'm not perfect, and I don't know anybody that is. But I know one thing. I have hope because he's never failed me. He never will fail me, and I trust in him. We continue to serve God in the spite of afflictions. We face the flesh. Our lives bring glory to God when we are going through these things and we allow Christ to be seen. Everyone that witnesses us should see somebody with a desire to serve God and to be faithful to God. Paul was saying, don't lose heart, my friends. God will not leave you nor forsake you. God will strengthen you for the road you face. He'll use you for his honor and his glory. Remember, God has a purpose in everything. It's hard for me to preach without sharing this because this is my favorite verse because I've needed it so many times. But in Romans 8, 28 and 29. And by the way, don't quote 28 without quoting 29. He said, and we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. You know what the Bible's saying? In spite of what happens in our life, the tragedy, the death, whatever we go through. And sometimes people said, preacher, I just that's hard to believe. But we know that all things work together for the good to them that love God. Did you get that? All things. I miss Brother David this morning. He's my amen man. We had to get him back. I miss him. But anyway, we need to understand that as we go through this life, remember that God reinforces the weak. When I am weak, what's that song we used to sing in Sunday school? Jesus loves me, this I know. Why? For the Bible tells me so. He says, I am weak, but he is strong. Thank God today, he reinforces the weak in our time of despair. And then number three, remember, God raises the dead. You say, well, what's that got to do with it? Well, a lot. Let's continue to read. We go down to verse number 13, and he said, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Here's the Apostle Paul, and I believe when he wrote this, he was sensing his service to God would end in death, and it did, that he would be martyred for the cause of Christ. And you know, today, it did not do anything to hinder him. Go back to verse 12. He said, so then death worketh in us, both but life in you. Even though Paul faced death on a daily basis, he never, ever failed to do what God wanted him to do. He was faithful in serving God and being faithful in every area of his life. Even though Paul faced death every day of his life, he went on. Why did he go on? How did he go on? He knew that one day he would be resurrected again. He knew that one day he would be brought forth out of that grave if he died, and he did. But the Lord's going to bring him back, and he's going to take him out. And friend, today our hope, the closer I get to the other side, and believe me, when you start getting older, you're getting closer to the other side either way. But as I get closer to the other side, I'm resting and surely at resting in the fact that one day my body, if the Lord doesn't come back before, I'll be buried in the cemetery beside my son and my mom and dad, and I'll be buried there. But I'm not going to fret about that because I know that one day the trumpet's going to sound and the dead Christ is going to rise, and we which are alive and remain are going to be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we be with the Lord. Paul said that he remembered that God raises the dead. Yes, we know he raised Lazarus from the dead. He raised the widow's son and all those that he did in the Bible. And yet we don't see him raising people physically dead anymore, but we sure see him raising people that are spiritually dead. The Bible said, "And you hath he quickened who was dead in your trespasses and sin." You see, the Roman government executed Paul at the end of his life for preaching the gospel. He said, so death, in verse 12, so then death worketh in us. Paul may have not known when he said that how true that statement would be. But he didn't worry about it. He knew that his life would be claimed for the glory of God. Even though he faced it, Paul believed in the resurrection. Paul put everything on the line for Jesus. He wasn't worried about what would happen to him. Can I tell you today, there's nothing can happen to you or I unless God allows it to happen. I was coming through Atlanta the other day, and I tell you what, it's just a plain miracle that we did not get in a bad accident. I mean, traffic was going on, and a guy came over me, and I pulled over to the other side and put on brakes, and lightly got hit from behind. And I tell you, it was the grace of God, but me and my wife, all we could do when it was over was say, we know God was with us, because there's no way. I can't even explain it. I can tell you this. I don't know. We were so close, and I tell you, I don't even think we scraped one another. And somebody said, well, what do you think? I think God was just looking out for me because he wasn't ready for me. But if he had been, I'm all right with that, because one day I'll rise again, and I'll go to be with him and serve him the rest of my life, all of eternity, which there won't be no rest of your life. It never ends. Epaphroditus was a man that served the Lord faithfully. He became deathly ill as a result of his ministry for the Lord in Philippians 2 and verse 30. And Paul writes this about him. He said, because for the work of Christ, he was nigh unto death. But listen to this. Not regarding his life to supply your lack of service toward God. In other words, here's Epaphroditus about to die, but he never quit serving God. He never quit ministering to the people that he was ministering to. He literally put everything on the line for God. He was doing what he could in order that he might be faithful and he might not faint. I tell you today, it's easy sometimes, as I said, even for me to get discouraged. But I never want discouragement to hinder me from doing what I'm doing, because when I keep doing what I'm doing, I'll be encouraged and strengthened by it. Epaphroditus knew that he only had one life to give. One fellow wrote this. He said, only one life shall soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. And that's the honest truth. All the things we do in this world are not going to amount to nothing. We're not going to take any of it with us when we leave here. It's going to all be left behind. But only the things that are done for Christ is what's going to really matter. That's why I'm thankful that in 1974, God got a hold of my heart. I'm thankful that he spoke to me about serving him. And I tell you, I know I've not been as faithful as I've needed to be through the years, but I thank the Lord for these 45 years that he's given me. And there's nothing else I want to do. There's no other place I'd rather be than serving God and being faithful to him. Even the threat of death was not enough to hinder Paul or Epaphroditus. And the threat of death and the service of Jesus should not stop us either. People say, well, we just, you know, I don't know. I just worry about somebody talking. These missionaries going to the mission field, they're putting their lives on the line. It's not like it is here. But yet we see they put their life on the line to carry the gospel to lost people. Why? Because Jesus commanded us to. That's exactly why we're to do it. In Matthew 16:24, listen to what Jesus said. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Friend, just remember, there's going to be a reward. There's rewards, by the way, for those who faithfully serve him. But the greatest reward of all is to see Jesus face to face one day as we stand before him. There'll be rewards. Don't lose heart. Even if we must lay everything on the altar for sacrifice, we need to continue to be faithful to him. So remember, God saves the lost. Remember, God reinforces the weak. Remember, God raises the dead. But then lastly, remember, God rewards the faithful. In verses 15 through 18, in the end, Paul knows all the trials of this life are just temporal and temporary. That's it. These things we're going through now, when I've had surgeries and I've had back problems and various things I was going through, I always claim that promise in the Bible, and it came to pass. Because it always does, and maybe when we get a little older, it maybe never goes away down here. But one day, I'm telling you, we're going to be free from all pain and suffering. Those who are saved, we're going to be with the Lord Jesus Christ. He knows, Paul knew it would end someday, but he said the inner man is renewed or restored and refreshed day by day. Look at verse number 15. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace through the thanksgiving of many redound to the glory of God. And here again he says it, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's why you need to read your Bible every day. That's why you need to pray every day. You need a touch from God every day. And God will renew your strength. Paul said at the beginning of the chapter, we faint not. He gives us all these reasons why he's not fainting. But then we come to verse 16. He said, for this cause, the things I've just told you, we don't faint. As we walk through a shifting, unstable sands of this fallen world, we must learn to view the earth through heaven's eyes. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. You see, Paul tells us our affiliations, which seem to be so heavy, and our afflictions seem to be so heavy. They seem to be so intense. So an ending down here. But in heaven's view, it's all out of view, because no more will we have the pain and thing we've gone through. Paul could not say this because he developed the heavenly lens through which to view his life. He didn't look through the lens of life. He looked through the lens of heaven, and he saw what the Lord had for him. Understanding this, Paul wrote in Romans 8:18, he said, for I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I tell you, that ought to make you say glory right there. In verse 18, listen, we understand what he's saying. In our text today, he said, back in our text, chapter 4, verse 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but of the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal. The things which are not seen are eternal. What do you want today? Do you want what's eternal or temporal? And whatever you do have temporal, God's in control. He knows all about it. He knows what you're going through. He knows the difficulty. You see, Paul knew he was going to be there for a little while, but he knew he was going to be in eternity forever. And rather than struggling with it, one day the weight of glory is going to overcome the pain and the suffering, the disappointment and the heartache. Don't lose heart, friend. God's faithfulness and your faithfulness to him and his will, he will reward your faithful service. One day this short life will end. The Bible said our life is even as a vapor that appeared for a little time and then it just vanisheth away. And that's what Paul was realizing. Just as much as steam out of a kettle will rise and disappear, one day the weight of this world will rise and disappear for him. Do you feel like this morning sometimes you're just discouraged? Do you ever feel like giving up? Oh, may I say this morning, don't ever give up. You may be disappointed. You may be discouraged. You may be disillusioned by the problems of life. And all of us are faced with them. We think about them all the time. But yet, I'm grateful. I'm sure many of you have heard the illustration. I'll not tell it again, but the woman that wanted to be buried with her spoon because they always said dessert was the best was yet to come. Friend, I want you to know when we die, the best is yet to come. And what a wonderful day it's going to be. Everything is going to be right in the end. The things down here that made us stumble, the things down here that tripped us up, when we get to heaven, it's going to be lifted. And God's going to give us the strength and the help that we need as we serve him.